Dr. David Clark, and I just want to tell you a couple of things about what we're going to learn today. First of all, if you have never seen the gift of the spiritual gift of prophecy in action, that's what you're going to see today. Dr. Clark is what that means is a prophet according to the spiritual gifting is someone who stands on the truth. And this is so important because we know that the Bible says you will know the truth from Scripture and that truth will set you free. And so what Dr. Clark is going to share with us today is truth about marriage, truth about God's perspective on marriage, and also truth about the church's responsibility to stand according to God's word. You know, our culture wants us to cower away from our truth because what do we know about their lives? Well, here's what we know. We are connected with the one true God who has a plan for flourishing as we live life. And what we're going to talk about today, what Dr. Clark is going to talk about today, is God's plan for flourishing in the family and in particular in marriage. So I'm going to pray with him in just a moment, but let me just share, Dr. Clark has a website that you can go to get one of his 12 or 13 books, and he's working on another one. It's davidclarkphd.com. Or you can email him. Also, let me tell you about his ministry. He's a PhD in clinical psychology, and so he counsels. And he's transitioning his ministry a bit right now, and it's actually nationwide, and he does his work over the phone largely. Now, you can go see him if you live in the Tampa Bay area, but a lot of his work is over the phone, and he's helping marriages all across the United States. So a couple of his books, this one he wrote, I think in my honor, and my wife, Cinderella Meets the Caveman. That's our story. He wrote The Six Steps to Emotional Freedom, A Marriage After God's Own Heart. And I think, which one? Lonely and Married. Married but Lonely. Fabulous work. And all elevating the truth of God's plan for our family. So Dr. Clark, if you'll come up, I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to be receptive to what God has to say truthfully through you today. Father, thank you so much for Dr. Clark and his 35 years of ministry. His wonderful marriage and four children are just a testimony to what you can do. I pray, Lord, that today you would give us ears to hear what you have to say. And Lord, by your Spirit, encourage us to stand in and on and for the truth. We bless your name, Lord. We pray that you would speak through Dr. Clark your love, grace, and challenge to our lives and our family. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. The man can give an introduction, I'm telling you. Great to be here at Skycrest Community Church speaking. It's great to be speaking, frankly, anywhere, because with this COVID thing, I've had a number of cancellations. But when Pastor Chris asked me, I said yes, and he's held the line. So I'm so glad to be here, glad for you folks that are online as well. Well, today is a difficult topic, but it's a very important topic. Divorce. It's an ugly word, isn't it? Divorce is an awful, painful, destructive, traumatic, life-changing experience, isn't it? Most of us here have been impacted by divorce, haven't we? Chances are very good that someone close to you has gotten divorced and you were caught in the fallout. Your parents got divorced. Your grandparents got divorced. Your brother or sister got divorced. One of your kids got divorced. A close family friend got divorced. Maybe you got divorced. You know how God feels about divorce? Listen to Malachi 2:16. I think this makes it pretty clear. We're going to have it on the screen, but I'm old school. I like to read it from the Bible. Malachi 2:16 says, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Any questions? You know why God hates divorce? Because it breaks a sacred relationship, a covenant. Listen to Genesis 2:24. This is the first message in the Bible about marriage, and it's a doozy. Genesis 2:24, for this reason, marriage, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. You see, who instituted marriage? Was it society? No, they had nothing to do with it. This is God's idea. It is his creation. For that reason, it is sacred. Listen to, finally, Ephesians 5:24. This seals the deal. Now, this is a verse, of course, directed to husbands, a very serious verse, indicating that the husband has much more responsibility in the marriage than the wife is ever given by God. But it's also a very clear message about marriage. Husbands, Paul says, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Marriage is the very picture of Christ's relationship with the church. That makes it incredibly, undeniably, irrevocably sacred. Now, as Christy said, I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, PhD. I've been in practice now for over 35 years. It's been my business, it's been my ministry to fight divorce. I joined my dad in practice in 1986 in Tampa. He called the place the Marriage and Family Enrichment Center, so I had no choice. I was going to do marriages, but God has, I think, gifted me to do that. Now, I'm asking you today to join me in fighting divorce and join Pastor Chris in fighting divorce. If you're a Christian, if you have a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and I hope you do, and it's also your job to fight divorce. Not just your divorce, but the divorces of others. Now, one of the main ways we as Christians can fight divorce is by speaking truth to those spouses who want out of their marriages for non-biblical reasons. You're going to come across a couple. This has already happened in your lives, and it will continue to happen, maybe even more after today. Because you know how God works. When you hear a message, and it's the truth from God's word, he'll bring people into your lives so you can practice applying the truth. But you'll come across a couple in a struggling marriage. Could be a friend, could be family, it could be a coworker, could be a neighbor. And you're going to be talking. One spouse wants to save the marriage. One spouse wants a divorce. Classic scenario. The spouse who wants the divorce will give you a series of lame, sinful excuses for ending the marriage. These excuses aren't even close to a biblical reason to end the marriage. Of course, they don't care at that point. Now, there are times when divorce cannot be avoided. That's true. And there are biblical reasons for divorce. I'm talking here about spouses who want out of a marriage for a non-biblical, bogus reason. I'm telling you, that's easily 90%. It is my job, and I'm telling you now, and those online too, it's your job to confront these spouses with their excuses and speak the truth. Now, when you speak the truth to these individuals who want out of their marriage for bogus reasons, you're doing three very important things, all that will please God. Number one, you're following the Bible's instruction to confront sin. This is part of our job as Christians. Not to punish people, to make them feel bad, but to turn them from sin, which will destroy them. Everywhere we see sin mentioned in the Bible, it is to be confronted lovingly, firmly. Matthew 18:15-17, just one example of this. I'm not going to read the passage, but I could read you 100 passages. One, we'd be here all day about sinners and needing to confront them biblically. So that's the first thing you're doing when you speak the truth to these individuals who went out of their marriages for bogus reasons. The second thing you're doing, and this is important too, is that you might just, by speaking the truth, you might just shake up the sinning spouse and turn them from their sin. Look, no one else is telling them the truth. You know what people do when they want a divorce for bogus reasons? They surround themselves with a bunch of idiots who encourage them to get divorced. They don't go to church. They don't talk to people that might give them the truth. And so they just surround themselves with this mindless horde who say, yeah, you should be happy. Yeah, go ahead. You may be the only one with the guts to stand up for God's word and to say, you know what? Not a good idea. Have you thought about this? Speaking truth might just shake them up. If you don't do it, no chance. If you do it, there's an opportunity. And the third thing you're doing, and this is also vitally important in God's plan, let's think about the other spouse, the one who's trying to save their marriage. You will empower and encourage that other spouse. Have you ever been, those of you online, those of you here in this room, have you ever been in a situation where your marriage is falling apart? If you have been, you know what I'm talking about. You're desperate to have somebody, someone that knows you and your spouse and that has the courage to talk to your spouse and speak the truth and try to save your marriage. It means the world to this other spouse. So, my friends, when faced with a spouse who wants out of a marriage for bogus reasons, don't take the wimpy approach. Wimpy responses are always a variation on the same theme. Well, these things just happened, wringing our hands. What can we do? Not much we can say or do. That's not true. Divorces don't just happen. Spouses who sin make divorces happen. So in these conversations I'm talking about, and you're going to have them, family, friend, neighbor, whoever. Don't be nice. Don't be neutral. Don't be understanding. If you do that, they'll think you're okay with their divorce. They'll walk away thinking you're just fine with their divorce, and you're not. At least you shouldn't be. I think it's time at these times to speak the truth in an assertive, blunt way. That's your job. I'm telling you that's your job, and that's my job. Now you're thinking, Dave, well, man alive, if I confront like this, if I'm tough, if I'm assertive, and I speak God's truth, that person's going to be offended. Yeah, they will be. That's exactly what you want. When people are offended, that's when you have impact. That's when they change. I spent 35 years being offensive. You're starting to get that vibe, aren't you? I don't mind being offensive for God's truth when I'm standing for what this book says, because I know it's all true. Every word, every letter, I stand on it. People don't like that, that's their problem. All right? Stand with me on this. Now, you're also thinking, okay, Dave, I'm tracking with you here. I agree. I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. I attend church. I'm watching online. I care about people, marriages. But how? How can I confront the sinning spouse? I mean, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to show you exactly how this morning. I hold in my hands right now the top 10 lame excuses to end a marriage. Here they are. You say, why are these the top 10? Well, because I say so. I'm a psychologist here, nationally known. Pastor Chris said so. He never lies. Anyway, I have heard, as you can imagine, over 35 years, still going strong, every possible lame, stupid, sinful excuse to end a marriage. It's a parade of people who want out, who want to sin, and they got to come up with some reason, and they do, and they're all dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. And so I've heard them all. I've pared them down to the top 10. Now, you've heard all of these top 10. I know you have. They're all through our society, because society, unlike God, could care less about marriage. Who cares? You're falling out of love? Stop. Quit. Find somebody else. They don't realize, and they don't care about the carnage involved. The only reason God says stay married is because, of course, it glorifies him, but the alternative is awful. He wants to save us from that. So I'm going to go over these one at a time. Now, the surprise won't be in the excuse. You've heard these excuses. What you haven't heard is how to respond to these excuses. That's what Dr. Clark is for, all right? That's why I've been brought in. If you can tailor your responses to these people and make it similar to how I respond, I know you're going to have impact, and that will please the Lord. Now, one caveat before I go through this list, and it's an important one. I am not condemning or judging in any way anyone here online who has been divorced. If you were involved in the divorce, now maybe it was done to you, it's not your fault at all, but if you had any kind of responsibility, you know what? If you've confessed that sin, God's forgiven you completely. He wants to restore you. What I'm concerned about and what God is concerned about this morning is the marriage you're in now, current marriages. And he wants those to be the best that they could possibly be. So, without further ado, I'm going to run through my list. I entitle this Speaking Truth to Powerful Stupidity. Because when people sin, they're stupid. When I sin, I'm stupid. When you sin, you're stupid. All right? Let's just be honest. Okay, stupid excuse number one. You've heard this a million times. So have I. I don't love you anymore is the excuse, the statement. Like, that covers everything? Uh-uh. Not good enough. My response is this, or something close to this. Wow, poof, your love just disappeared one day? It's gone because you stopped feeding and caring for it and nurturing it over time. Your spouse did contribute to this tragedy, but so did you. Tell me what you did in your marriage to kill your love for your spouse. You see what I'm doing? I'm turning it back on them. They don't want to have this conversation. They want to make the statement and have you go, oh, well, okay, well, if you don't love anymore. I don't love my beautiful blonde every minute of every day, 38 years of marriage. Sometimes she drives me nuts. I'm here to tell you. She's not here in this service, so I can talk freely. Chris, don't talk to her. It's a commitment. It's a pledge. I love her most of the time, but this is no good reason to get a divorce, and so I'm asking the person to, you tell me the choices you made over the last 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, how long it's been, that in fact killed your love for your spouse, because love is really a series of choices. You can choose to love, or you can choose to not love. I could look at Sandy. God knows you could look at me, all the quirks I've got. You can't imagine. If you want to start being negative and look at the stuff you don't like, oh, it's there. Plenty of material. That's what this bonehead has done. You know what? Uh-uh. Doesn't work in my office. Stupid excuse number two. Another classic. I never loved you. Oh, my goodness. We're going to rewrite history now. Here's my response to this. Baloney. You did so love your spouse. That's why you got married. You didn't have an arranged marriage, did you? Was sitting several years ago with an Indian couple in my office. And you may see where this is going, from India, all right? And in fact, the guy wanted out of the marriage. These were Christians. They were church-going people. He didn't care. His wife did. She was crying. Anyway, he said, I want out of the marriage. And he said, I never loved her. I said, well, that's ridiculous. Did you have an arranged marriage? And they looked at me and said, yeah, we did have an arranged marriage. Anyway, Dr. Clark is light on his feet. It was one of these situations which still happens in India. It's their country. They can do what they want. But they barely knew each other. And there was an arranged marriage, and they got together. They have a couple of kids now. I said, look, I don't care if you had an arranged marriage, and frankly, God doesn't care, and that's the point. Are you married now, sir, talking to the Indian man? Well, yes, I am, for now. I said, well, that's it. End of story. And I said, don't you think that God has enough power to change this whole scenario, even in your situation where you had no chance to fall in love or to have any commitment because it was arranged? It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't. No, if there's not an arranged marriage, and there aren't many of those, I would continue by saying this. You are attempting to rewrite history to justify your divorce. Even if you're telling the truth, and I doubt you are, don't you think God can change your heart and give you back love for your spouse? I'm not even buying the never loved you. Unless you're an idiot, you loved the person when you got married to them. Show me your wedding pictures. You were in love. Now, you're not now, I'll grant you that, but that doesn't make any difference. We can turn that around if you want to serve the Lord and follow his teaching. Here's stupid excuse number three, and this follows from number two. You've heard this one too. I felt pressured to marry you. I heard that just 2 weeks ago in my office. In this case, it was the man, and his wife's there, young kids, you know, involved. It's like, whoa. And he said it with a straight face. Like, that's a reason to get divorced. My response is this. It was awful, wasn't it? Being tied up, drugged, and dragged to the altar must have been traumatic. Show me the wedding picture of you with the shotgun to your head. And I actually say that because there's not going to be a picture like that. Give me a break, I say. You got married. I'll tell you why you got married. You got married because you were in love and you wanted to get married. If you choose divorce, up to you. Life is full of choices. You are going to feel some real pressure from God, in whose presence you swore never to forsake this person. Ooh. People don't expect this kind of a response, even from a Christian psychologist. We're supposed to be nice and warm and loving. Okay, I'm loving, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And that's actually the greatest form of love. When somebody's driving their car over a cliff, getting divorced for a bogus reason, they're going to shatter their own life. I'm trying to save them too. Stupid excuse number four. Oh, this is a beauty. American society loves this one. It's applauded every time it's used because of our selfish society. Straight face, on my couch, wife next to him. And the guy says, I need to find myself. Are you? That's your reason for getting divorced? Easy answer there. I say, let me see if I can help you find yourself. You're paying for this service. Might as well help you. You're married. You have kids and you have responsibilities. That's you. Hey, you're welcome. Pay as you leave. That's it. If you leave your marriage, I continue, based on this ridiculous excuse, you'll find yourself in sin and misery. That's where you'll find yourself. God wants you to work on your individual issues and save your marriage. Okay, let's say you're messed up. Pretty obviously you are with that dumb thing that just came out of your mouth. Fine. Okay, let's work on that. There's something wrong with you. We can fix that, and then you can stay married, and everything can work out. They don't want that. When people say these things, they're done. They're absolutely done. That's why the approach has to be edgier than you'd like, because we've got to shake them up. Now, this won't shock you, but as I give these, and this is going to happen to you too, when I give these things in my private office in Tampa, and when I'm confronting somebody and I tell them the truth, I give these responses, oh, they have a fit, many of them, and they stand up and say, I don't have to take this from you. You know, you quack. And I'm leaving. And I'll say, well, there's the door. I'm not going to hold you. And they'll slam out of my door. Sandy, who's my wife and my office assistant, she does all the jobs I don't want to do. She's sitting at her desk and she's going, oh, no, here it goes again. One slam is my office door. Slam. We've had to reinforce the bolts. Anyway, then they walk down the hallway, and they slam the privacy door right by her desk. Boom, that's the second slam. Hey, I'm on a roll. They're not done yet. Then they walk the 5 feet to the outside door, and they got to slam that door too. Slam, three slams. I'm sitting with the other spouse, and I say, wait for it. We're not done yet. And she's like, wait a minute. Five or ten more steps to their car. It's right outside my window. Boom, they slam the car door. When I get four slams, I've done my job. Yes, I have. Because that's what conviction looks like. And I'll say, look, okay, we're done with that guy or that woman for now. I'm going to work with you. We're going to have a tough love plan of action so we can shake that sinner up and maybe even save your marriage and empower you. If you've got to go on alone, I'll say to the person, we got to get you going. Got to get you to build a new life. Okay, stupid excuse number 5. I call this the Seinfeld excuse. You heard this. All kinds of breakups use this. It's not you, it's me. Okay, they say that. They don't mean that. It sounds nice. I'm going to take the fall for this. Oh, they're blaming you in their dumb head. But they'll say this. But I go with it. I want you to go with it too, because what they're actually saying is the truth, even though they don't believe it. I'll say, now that makes sense. It is you. You're a mess, and you're not thinking clearly or rationally. Let's work on what's wrong with you before you ruin your whole life and severely damage those who love and need you. You see, you turn it from, oh, at least you're blaming yourself for this divorce, to no. Let's work on you. You can still save your marriage if you get your own stuff together. Yeah. Stupid excuse number 6. This works, again, in our society beautifully. Books have been written about it, scores of books. It's like a big deal. It's an excuse for sin in our society, like we need another one. Here it is. I'm having a midlife crisis. Yeah, well, who cares? God doesn't care. My response is this. Well, then I guess you can't help it. Your midlife crisis is your free ticket to all these sinful, destructive actions. See, that's what somebody says when they say that. I can now do what I want to do anyway. And it's not because of me. I'm out of control. It's my midlife crisis. No, it's still you, bonehead. You're the one making the decisions. And that's what you're telling them. I can hear a slamming door somewhere, maybe 4. Tough. That's the way it works in my office. I continue. You can if you choose. Life is full of choices. You're making some dumb ones now. But if you choose, you can work through your personal issues without damaging your spouse and ruining your marriage and your life. Hey, I'm a psychologist. You're in a good spot because you're nuts. I can help you. We're not going to work on the marriage. We're going to suspend that. Stay married. I'm going to work you through your midlife crisis because Satan's got you by the throat, sir. And we're going to work this through, and you're going to come back to him, and then we can save your marriage. That's not what the person wants, but I'm offering it to them. I continue, if you think you're in a crisis now, just wait until after you divorce your spouse. This is especially for a Christian. God's going to give you a whopper of a crisis to bring you back to your senses and back to him. People always think they're going to get away with sin. Well, the sin of divorce is major. God is going to do justice because that's what God does. Not to punish you, but to bring you back to him. Here's a good one. Stupid excuse number 7. Said with a straight face in my office, and you'll hear this from people too. These are Christian people. A lightning bolt should come down and strike them. It doesn't, because God's gracious, but they'll say, God wants me to be happy. See, I'm not happy in this marriage. And so I think by divorcing, God is going to really help me to be happy. My response is this. No, he doesn't want you to be happy. Show me in the Bible where it states that God wants you to be happy, especially when you're sinning in this serious way. The Bible states that there is pleasure in sin, no doubt about that. But the sad truth is that it passes away quickly. What God wants is for you to obey him and work on your marriage. He promises that will bring you joy, which is a lot better than happiness. Ironically, if you get a divorce for unbiblical reasons, which you're on the verge of doing, you will be the opposite of happy. No one breaks God's laws and gets away with it. Yeah, more slams. People don't like this when you have the nerve to confront them. But I'm trying to stand up for marriage and also save this person's life. Stupid excuse number 8 makes me the angriest of all. You've heard this. Maybe you heard it from your spouse or somebody that you've come across, and they say it with conviction, and society cheers. Standing ovation for this stupid comment. Listen to this. It is better for the kids. Our divorce is better for the kids because our bad marriage is hurting them, and they believe it. Biggest lie you could ever imagine. Here's the truth back in their face. You know what? A bad marriage is better than no marriage at all, and in most cases, better than the loss of an involved dad or mom. And here's the statement that I make, and I want you to make too. I'm convinced God wants you to make it. It'll get them upset. And if they're in my office, they'll bang out of there. Kids of all ages, I don't care how old they are, kids of all ages are deeply, permanently wounded by divorce. That's the truth. If we had the time and we had access to the online people watching, and if I had people here could come up, if you've been, when you were a child and your parents got divorced, we'd hear story after story of how awful it was and how it affected your life. Society doesn't ever talk about that. These things just happen. The kids will be fine. In fact, the kids are better off. No, they're not better off. Does life go on? Yeah. Do they heal? Can they walk with the Lord? Yes. But it doesn't come without a cost. There's a high cost for divorce. I tell these folks, look, at the very least, what God would expect of you, because we know from his word, is you stay married and you do everything you can in your power. 3 months with me, give me 10 sessions, give me 8 sessions. We're going to work through this, a genuine effort, because it's not dating, it's a marriage. When I see couples that are dating that aren't married, I have no problem saying you're not good for each other, break up. Next, whatever, they're dating, who cares? When you're married, you've crossed the line. You've gone from a relationship to a sacred relationship. And I say to these folks, and you can say too, I don't recommend you stay in a bad marriage. You think that's the only option here? I recommend for the sake of the children especially, you work on it and improve it. Why are the only options you're giving me, I'm smarter than this, are staying in a bad marriage, and frankly, it is a bad marriage. I've heard you talk about it. It's awful. Yeah, we shoot it, stick a fork in it, or divorcing. Aren't we missing a third option? You're sitting in a psychologist, a Christian psychologist's office. The third option is to work on it. See, these folks have only come in to see me to make a statement, to make a final statement, one of these dumb things, and they're never coming back. So that's why I have one shot. You might be with a water cooler. You might be in your neighbor's yard. You might have a family friend. It might be the last chance, the one chance you get to speak the truth, and you need to seize the moment. I may never see this person again, but they'll never forget what I told them. I'll tell you something else, and you may have had this happen in your lives. I've had it happen plenty of times. If, in fact, after you've told them the truth, and they're through with you, and you're not my friend, and I don't want you to be in my family, and whatever, who cares? Once you've done that, if they do see the light, God gets their attention, you know the person they're going to come back to and talk about it, and ask to come to your church, and ask you to pray with them, you, because you had the guts to talk to them. Not their fair-weather friends who just were okay with their divorce. Stupid excuse number 9. Now, there's some truth to this one, but it's still bogus. For years, Dr. Clark, I've tolerated a lack of love and my needs not being met. Okay, let's say that's true. Bad marriage, the guy's never met my needs, or the woman hasn't. Now, they say, I'm exhausted and beyond frustration and I'm done. Yeah, I believe that. Here's the response. This is not a biblical reason for divorce, even though there's truth in it. I say, look, it's your fault for stuffing your feelings all those years and not expressing those feelings about how unhappy you were. That's on you. You want to play the codependent? You want to take all the pain and not take a stand and not change it? You're going to eventually hit the wall at 90 miles an hour and you will be done. But that is partly your fault. Now that you finally have your spouse's attention, I say, and real change can happen, you're walking out. I got your husband right here. He's willing to change now. You don't care because you're done. Well, God can make you undone. All you have to do is ask. You know what? They're not asking. I've said a million times, have you prayed about this? The answer is usually no. I say, well, I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want. I'll work for a secular agency. We're going to pray right now. And I'm going to promise you to pray out loud, if you will. Pray for God to speak to you about your marriage. And if they'll actually do that, you know what God's going to say? Stay married. Work on it. Don't quit. But they're not praying because they've already decided. This is an example of playing God. I have made this decision. Stupid excuse number 10. This is a particularly nasty one. I hear this a lot in my office. Again, straight face. It could be a Christian person. You'll hear it too. A spouse is sitting by him and he's talking. It could be either one. It could be the woman or the man. And they say this, straight face. They're serious. I've fallen in love with someone else and this other person is my soulmate. Oh my goodness. That's not going to work in my office. And it better not work wherever you are and talking to these people. But they're true believers. They're dumb enough to actually think that God himself, which would be a violation of his nature and everything he says in the Bible, has somehow, he's okay with you divorcing the wife of your youth or the husband of your youth and going with someone else. It's called adultery. He's not in favor. My response to this is, soulmate? No, try sinmate. You are committing adultery. I don't say affair because that sounds nice. See, even that's the world. Oh, it's just an affair. No, it's adultery. You're committing adultery, and God will never bless this sinful, disgusting relationship. Oh, they don't want to hear that because it's a special relationship to them. They love, it's not love at all, but they think they love the new person more than they love their spouse. No, it's not love at all. It's smoke and mirrors. And Satan will be laughing the loudest when it just implodes on you. Now, if they're still in my office at this point, and sometimes they are, I will add, if you turn from this loser of a person that you're dating, that you're involved with, God will forgive you and help you develop a genuine love with your spouse. See, choices, choices, choices. And they actually have the nerve many times to say, well, this other person, you're indicating that they're just some awful person. I say, yeah, they are an awful person. How dare you? You don't understand. They're loving. They're kind. I say, no, they're not. No, they're not. They're an instrument of Satan. And I'll say, I got two questions for you. We'll find out what kind of quality of person we're talking about, the person that you're dating, even though you're married, you bonehead. And I'll say, first question is very easy. Does this other person know that you're married? Well, yeah. Loser. Loser. Are you kidding? What kind of a person is involved with a married person? A loser. A sinner of epic proportions. Second question is even better. Especially if they have kids. Does this other person know that you have children? Are there children involved here? Well, yeah. Loser. What kind of a person, knowing a person is married and has children, is going to be part of breaking up that family and breaking those kids' hearts? I'll tell you what kind of a person, a loser, miserable loser and a sinner. Sometimes they're smart and they'll be quick and they'll say, well, I guess you're saying that I'm the one involved with the other person. I guess I'm that too. Yeah, I guess you are. It's exactly right. You can be rehabilitated. I'll never see this other person. Before God, you can be restored. You can be forgiven. All this can go away. And you can build a brand new marriage with the person sitting here crying next to you. If you want to. Choices. What they're all saying basically is, you know what? I want to do my own thing. And I don't care what God thinks. Or even worse, I don't think God has got the power somehow to change this. Yes, he does. He can do anything. Anything. I'll throw the last one in for free. Irreconcilable differences. This is the dumbest thing in the world. Society loves this. It's stamped on almost every divorce in the United States these days. What's the reason for your divorce? Irreconcilable differences. What, are you kidding me? I would say to these folks, and I have many times, join the club. I'm married to Sandy, 38 years, wonderful person. She's put up with me. I love her, but we have irreconcilable differences. Every couple does. No excuse for a divorce. With God's help, his power, putting him at the center of your marriage, the irreconcilable becomes reconcilable, and it becomes something beautiful that's only through God. So that's bogus too. Now, I know what you're thinking. Those of you here in this room and online, oh, Dave, really, are you kidding me? It's okay for you to say these things. You're a professional. You're an offensive person. You're mean, clearly. You can do this. Well, yeah, that may be true, but you know what? You can do it too. You're thinking, I can't say these things. Yes, you can. You might be a nice, sweet Christian. That's fine. You might be more passive than I am. Most people are. Not quite as edgy. Doesn't make any difference. I know you can say these things. You want to know how I know? Because of this book, the Bible. Every single story in this book is a story of a person who was empowered by God to do and say things they could never do on their own. Now, we know that in our spiritual lives, don't we? So when you're, and God's going to be good. It's like when you're witnessing to somebody, which is critically important. And who gives you the words to say? God does it. The Holy Spirit, he'll do the same thing in these scenarios. All right, now once you've refuted their lies, you're not done yet. Now you need to say some very positive things about their marriage. And that's what I do with every couple I see for a first-time phone or in person. I say, your marriage can be saved. It's a statement of confidence, of assertive truth. Not, well, this is hard. I'm not sure we can get this done. No, even with God's help. No. Your marriage can be saved. I add, God not only wants you to save your marriage, he'll help you save it. You have the power of the universe at your disposal. God himself. All you have to do is ask. He's not going to intrude, but if you ask him, he will help you, and I think he can get the job done. Of course he can. And you'll say, I'll stand with you. I will encourage you. This is the person that wants out. I will pray with you. I'll have lunch with you. I'll invite you to my church. I will do whatever I can do. Here's the name of my pastor, Pastor Chris Stevens, who can have a pastoral visit with you and encourage you in God's word and give you motivation, pray with you. Here's the name of a Christian therapist in this area who you can see and kind of work through these issues. I'm trying to think now of a really excellent Christian psychologist in Tampa Bay who could be of help. Me, I'm just kidding. There's all kinds of therapists, and I know many great ones, and I can refer if I can't see somebody. I've written a number of books for struggling couples. No matter what the marital scenario, I've got a book for it. I have a plan of action that's biblical and that will help. You can check those out. One final question as I close. I want your honest answer in your own hearts and minds. Those of you online too, just be honest with me. Has God ever used you to save a marriage? If he has, it's a wonderful feeling. You'll feel God's pleasure, his joy, his honor for supporting what he has said is sacred. So my friends, it's time to man up and woman up and stand up for marriage. Are you with me on this? All of you listening, I hope you are. Let's pray. Dear Father, I believe this message is the truth because it's based on your word. How you feel about marriage has not changed since the beginning of time. It is a sacred relationship. I'm asking, Father, that all of us here would take that to heart. We would fight for our own marriages, and we would fight divorce in the marriages of others. We'd stand up. We'd speak truth, Father. Honor us for that. Bless this church, this body of believers, moving forward, Father, and the ministries here, and, of course, Pastor Chris, in Christ's name.